Time now for Black and Gold Breakdown with Central PA's leading sports authority, Corey Geiger, and the self-professed most passionate Steelers fan, Kreider. Buckle up that chin strap, because for the next 60 minutes, they'll be talking all things Steelers and taking your phone calls. Your unfiltered Black and Gold Breakdown show starts now.
About life, you just live like kerosene dancing around the fire, but you're in. So you jump right in, ain't afraid to fall, and you give it all. She got the best of me, she broke
best. You are listening to Black and Gold Breakdown on 96.1 Hank FM in Altoona, Cool 102.9 FM in Johnstown, and 103.7 The River in Katanning. Steelers post-draft show brought to you by Snare and Associates Mortgage Services and Your Cigar Den and State College. Corey, I picked that song, She Got the Best of Me, because I think the Eagles definitely got the best of the Steelers with probably one of the most egg-wearing blunders in modern NFL history in front of a national TV audience and a home crowd for that draft that garnered 370,000 people on night one. And I sat there and I was bewildered.
I didn't know that song, that country song, because I'm not hip on a lot of newer country music until the very end, and then I put it together.
Yes, there you go.
She got the best of me. So what were you doing when you're what? Were you pissed? Were you laughing? Were you beside yourself?
Well, we're going to unpack each pick individually later, and I know you probably have to leave halfway through the show today, so Bort and I will do some of this heavy lifting with the individual draft picks. But you go into this draft with a couple different things that you have to achieve. One is, I think you really have to energize your fan base and make a great pick with your first round pick because you're hosting the draft, because you haven't won a playoff game in almost a decade. So they have to accomplish that. So you're hoping that the first pick really gets the crowd energized. And then secondly, you spend all the offseason courting a crippled man named Aaron Rodgers, who's probably has played his best football, and you blow smoke up our butts all summer about how Will Howard is the next coming. So then if that's what you're telling me, then your draft picks, when you have 12 total picks, your draft picks have to really move the needle for 2026. You need to protect an immobile aging quarterback. You need to seriously upgrade your wide receiver room. And then you need to obviously pick and upgrade spots like your defensive backs and some other places. So with that in mind, this draft unfolds, and I'm sitting there, okay, thinking, that day they were talking about, Broderick Jones re-injured his neck and that they might need to draft another lineman. I'm like, oh, crap. I didn't really want to have to invest in another tackle. They took two first-round tackles in the last 2 years with Broderick Jones and Faletano. So, like, here we go again. But I understood that. So if that's all true, I'm not sitting back and letting six offensive tackles go off the board before me, if I know my first priority is to protect Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to move up and get that tackle. But if they didn't do that and they said, it's more important for me to get the wide receiver, the best one we can get within reason by moving up 5, 6, 7 slots, then you can't sit there at 21 when one of the top three wide receivers in the draft is still there picking at 19 or not picked at 19 or 20 and just hope that it doesn't go haywire. So I don't know if they were just arrogant. Like, they knew Dallas was taking a defensive player in the 20th round. But someone from the Steelers camp must have leaked that information to Dallas, who then got on the horn and said, guess what? Steelers want Mekhi Lemon, and if you guys want him, well, what do you got? Well, we'll give you 2 fourths. Okay. And you're talking a heated, hated rival who Mekhi Lemon might score 20 touchdowns against the Cowboys in the next 5 years, but Jerry Jones didn't care because they wanted to get those picks back that they gave up because they had moved up earlier. So it was just a horrible look. And to make it even worse now with modern technology was they had the video of Mekhi Lemon on the phone with Omar Khan, and he says, yo, what's Philly doing calling me?
Have we ever seen that?
No.
In any draft? I've never recalled.
I mean, that stuff has happened before, maybe.
Yeah, but never.
Again, never played out in live time on TV, never had the reporters make a mockery of what just happened, not when you're hosting the draft. So, do you follow along with, if you had to pick one word to describe the Steelers draft, I would call it, skelter, helter-skelter, it was disjointed. It didn't make sense to me for what they said. Either you're building for the future and you're not worried about Aaron Rodgers, or you got to do your best to protect him and do what you want to do for one more run at it. And they didn't really do either, because as we go down these picks, more projects, upsize, and developmental picks than immediate impact.
Yeah, I honestly agree with everything you said. I like the word disjointed. My word is haphazard. I've seen both of those kind of thrown out there. It lacked rhyme or reason. It seemed like that they were just kind of grasping at some straws here or there. The Mekhi Lemon thing, if it had happened to any other team, can we admit we'd laugh our ass off?
Oh, for sure. Someone had posted in an article I read, are the Steelers becoming the Browns with the decisions and baffling moves and buffoonery they're exhibiting?
They got caught with their pants down, and it's further embarrassing because you've got 300,000 people there. The draft is in your town. The video of him talking to them on the phone. I mean, it almost doesn't really get any more embarrassing than what happened.
But they had 8 minutes to recover. Mm-hmm. They could have moved down 5 picks, 4 picks, and got that same offensive tackle. There was no need to take him right there. Now, they tried to cover themselves, and Art Rooney said, we had them almost graded equally. If Mekhi Lemon was gone, we would have taken, Ihena Chor. I mean, that seems
Gesundheit.
That seems like I'm gonna try to CYA myself, because I don't imagine how they had fawned over Omar Cooper, the wide receiver from Indiana. There was other guys on the board. I just don't believe them that they had them graded so close that they thought, we can't afford to lose this project, this 6'9 tackle that no one else has been hip on, because 6 other tackles have already been taken. We must have him now. We're not gonna listen to any offer, and no offer was good enough to move down.
The way the draft works, you have to figure that there are really smart people there, and they've got a plan B for anything in the world that happens. But it just seems like in this particular situation, they were caught with their pants down so badly that the only thing I can think of is they all just must have been so flummoxed in the room. They're on the phone with the guy.
Sure, but before that, why though? No one in their right mind expected Mekhi Lemon to get to 20 anyways. So this contingency plan shouldn't have really been that much of a surprise, because they probably never really thought it was ever going to come to fruition. It wasn't like they thought for sure it was going to go down this way and all of a sudden someone pulled a rabbit out of a hat. No one thought he was going to be there anyway. So your plans probably were to draft somebody else to begin with, is what I'm thinking.
Do you think it was Iheanacho? Do you think that if Mekhi Lemon, do you think this was the guy, or was this some kind of quote-unquote safety dance pick that they took?
Well, everybody talks about he's a great pick if you develop him properly, and he develops. But I'm going to tell you a story now and give credit to my 14-year-old stepdaughter that I told some people earlier today, is that I was preparing her to sound smart when she goes to school by letting her know that I was not happy that the Steelers drafted the Penn State quarterback who underachieved there. And she had gone to an overnight sleepover and was going to the downtown waffle shop. And when she came back, she had talked to me, and she said, man, everybody that was there was all talking about the Drew Aller pick. This is a 14-year-old girl who don't know football from farming, okay? And she said, I told him it was dumb. Why would you pick somebody who stank at his job and hope that you could make him good when you could just pick somebody good? And I looked at her and I go, oh my God, that's what the Steelers have done the last 10 years. They always take somebody who has elite physical traits but didn't play well, or they're going to coach somebody up, or they're going to move them from guard to center. That's the Steelers. But a 14-year-old said, why would you take somebody who hasn't been great when you could just pick somebody who is great?
Out of the mouths of babes, right? That's common sense. So I do agree with you about the taking the project. This is what Mike Tomlin wanted to do. Somebody brought it up to me over the weekend. Omar Khan is still there, but this is a new coach. Will they be doing things differently? We're so used to the way Tomlin drafted and all this stuff that will Mike McCarthy come in and have a big say in doing a lot of things really differently? And yet you look at this draft, and I would almost think that this kind of draft has Mike Tomlin's fingerprints all over it, because this is more of a Mike Tomlin kind of draft that we would have assumed he would have.
Well, all the Mike Tomlin apologists were saying this would have never happened with Mike Tomlin there, and did he really steady a rudderless ship and all those kind of things? Because here's what
Mike Tomlin
say.
Had a lot of haphazard drafts himself.
Kenny Pickett went in the first round of the Steelers.
Yeah, even if you took that tackle, you could have traded back into the first round like the Jets did for their third pick and got one of the top six wide receivers, but you didn't. So then you sit and then you move up a couple spots and you take Jeremy Bernard, when you could have taken Cooper from Indiana. The Browns took Casey Concepcion, like Boston. Like, there's a lot of guys that came off the board. Like, you didn't even get a top wide receiver. So now you're saying, we didn't get a top tackle, we took the seventh rated one. Mm-hmm. We didn't get one of the top six wide receivers. In your first two picks, you had 12. Yep. Like, and then you say, all right, and to top it all off, let's take a flyer on Drew Aller with our third pick. So you go boom, 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 your first three picks of 12. None of them are probably instant start. I mean, maybe Jeremy Bernard. They said he's like a great route runner and a good possession receiver, compliment, you know, Pittman and Metcalf. But I still would have rather had one of the other five receivers they could have had rather than settle on him in the second round.
This is the way I would view everything that you just said. This draft, that drafting philosophy would be pretty good if you're the Rams, if you're the Lions, if you've got a really good team.
Yeah, they acted like they lost the Super Bowl last year by a field goal.
If you've got a really good team and you can take a bunch of developmental guys that you won't need in year one.
Yeah, the Rams took Ty Simpson in the first round.
But the Steelers have significant pressing needs right now. Line, wide receiver, D-line. They've got significant needs that they need guys that are going to step in, if not opening day, at least the middle of the season you're going to need help. And this draft to me comes across, again, I think it is more of a Mike Tomlin kind of draft, as an arrogant type of draft of, we'll show you by turning these guys into stars when nobody thought they could be.
So, again, once again, do you think the Steelers overvalue their roster more than the other 31 teams see the Steelers roster with these picks?
That's a good question. You caught me there, because I really don't have an answer there. I don't know the way other teams value their roster. And, again, I'm going to hammer this a couple times. Mike Tomlin did. Mike Tomlin did, because Mike Tomlin had a massive ego and probably felt like his way of winning football games 16-13 would work with anybody. I'm trying to give Mike McCarthy a little bit of leeway here to learn and see what he's about. But them going, I said yesterday, we got 3 years of discussion with Drew Aller. 3 years.
We got two Kenny Pickett's problems.
Yes, correct. So the fact that they went the Drew Aller route, you know, it is interesting. Maybe McCarthy, the quarterback whisperer, thinks that he can work something there. But again, that's a major red flag to me. As you said, your stepdaughter says, you know, why would you take somebody that stinks at his job? Because I am definitely in the camp that Drew Aller stinks and will not be a good player.
I guess what I'm also trying to understand is how does this all tie in with Aaron Rodgers and then Will Howard? Because they blew that smoke so hard and thick all offseason about Will Howard, Will Howard, Will Howard, Will Howard. You don't take Drew Aller if you actually believe that. So if I'm Will Howard, I got to be bent. You know what I mean? Yep. And Drew Aller said one of the first things that they asked him when they brought him in for his interview was, how do you feel about sharing a quarterback room with Will Howard? Because they knew it was going to cause a little bit of, you know, anxiety for either one of them. And then secondly, beyond just the disingenuous conversation around Will Howard, is how does this pertain to Aaron Rodgers now? Because it came out today that the Steelers just offered the right of first refusal, or retained the right of first refusal on Aaron Rodgers, means he can get a 10% raise and they have the right to match any other offer, supposedly to maybe get them a compensatory pick if he leaves.
My read on that, I don't know all the ins and outs of all these quirky NFL
They said it's
rules.
For the compensatory pick if he goes to, like,
my
Tampa.
Read on it is that this guarantees Aaron Rodgers going to be their quarterback. My read from reading Rapoport
the
and
pick
some of these
or
guys,
this today?
That this guarantees he's going to be their quarterback.
Oh,
nobody's going to give him the pick.
Oh,
nobody's going to give him
the
pick.
I read it as that they might not be on the same page, because why would you need to do this if it was already preordained? He's coming, but he's going to come after minicamp, whatever. Like, I thought maybe they're not as close to being on the same page as they led everybody to
my
believe.
Read from a couple of these analysts basically said that this guarantees Rodgers is going to be the quarterback.
Because
there's no value for it. Nobody's going to give you a pick for
they
it.
They said maybe Tampa, because they need a backup. They don't have a backup behind
you
their starter.
Aaron Rodgers is going to go somewhere where he's going to back up somebody?
But
he'll take his darkness retreat and go home.
And on top of giving up a pick now is that they're going to have to pay an even bigger premium price on stealing him from the Steelers, because the Steelers will have to say, okay, you at least paid enough where the Steelers are like, maybe not. I'm going to go there.
I covered professional baseball enough to know the ins and outs of these quirky
rules. No one
rules.
Else allowed to negotiate with him until July 22nd. And then
what I'm
going to
say about
offer,
this rule is that this rule is never used. No one ever uses this rule. No one ever uses this.
They said it was extremely
rare. It's extremely rare. That, to me, and again, I'm trying to I don't have any experience with this like I would a Major League Baseball contract, but from everything I gather, this is the Steelers locking up and not having to determine whether this friggin' guy, what he wants to do. They have locked up their side of it, and if he doesn't want to play, then he doesn't want to play. But if he wants to play, everything I've seen from this basically says he is going to be a Steeler because of this crazy rule.
All right, well, we're going to take a break, and then we'll have one last segment before Corey goes to baseball. We're going to talk about how should the quarterback room play out now for the Steelers, and should the Steelers tell Aaron Rodgers to hit the road and roll with two rookies behind Mason Rudolph, or does Mason Rudolph get the short end of the stick? We'll be back.
Your hometown mortgage lender.
Hello, Anthony Snare here on your favorite radio station with an important message. Are you thinking of buying a new home, refinancing your current mortgage, or doing a construction loan? Then you need a mortgage pre-approval from Snare & Associates. Our mortgage pre-approval process is free, it's quick, and it's easy. Our experienced loan originators will see if you qualify for our first-time homebuyer loans, conventional loans, FHA loans, VA loans, construction loans, renovation loans, and so much more, all with the lowest rates and closing costs around. So stop by our office in historic Hollidaysburg. Give us a call at 814-695-2000 or visit us on the web at snareandassociates.com to start the mortgage pre-approval process today. Just another reason why we are your hometown mortgage lender.
The lowest rates and the lowest closing costs. Your hometown mortgage lender. Snare and Associates.
Licensed by the PA Department of Banking and Securities. NMLS number 101853.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
What if you could get access to GLP-1 weight loss treatments for just $39? With Selfie, you can access doctor-guided GLP-1 weight loss treatments and a personalized weight loss program for up to 80 to 90% less than name brand prices. 100% online, and the medication is delivered straight to your door. No long waits, no paying thousands out of pocket. Available with or without insurance. Just one simple way to get started. Text FAST to 797979 to see if you qualify. That's FAST to 797979.
And we are back. Corey, if I had my druthers right now, I would tell Aaron Rodgers his services for the Pittsburgh Steelers are no longer needed. I would roll with Mason Rudolph as QB1. I would give the majority of the reps to Drew Aller and Will Howard all through training camp and through the preseason games, and have that pecking order of number two and number three quarterbacks ironed out between the two. Most likely Drew Aller as the backup, Will Howard as the number three. And
interesting, that
after,
part of it.
After four or five games, if we weren't winning enough to satisfy the masses, I would ask Mason Rudolph to step aside and promote my QB2 and roll with it for the rest of the season. Let 6-11, 7-10, or whatever play itself out and be in a better position next year if we have a feeling that these two young guys aren't going to be the face of the franchise. We draft again.
I'm going to go to the back end of that because I think we both know that's not going to happen. They're going to wait for Aaron Rodgers. But you
That's why I said if I had my druthers.
Right, but you mentioned Drew Aller 2 and Will Howard 3.
Sure.
I think it's the other way. I think Will's been there a year.
He hasn't practiced almost at all because he broke his hand so early last year.
I think
year.
Drew Aller is such an incredible project. He is so much a project.
Yeah, but did you hear that? Did you listen to that interview on The Fan this week where they had the former Penn State head coach, Terry Smith? And all everybody's saying is that he went out of his way to pretty much blame James Franklin and Penn State for not putting Drew Aller.
It was amazing.
In it. But if that's the case, don't you think teams always gravitate towards giving the person with the physical tools
the first shot to succeed? No, I don't.
That could also be true and still be – It could be true that they never put him in the right position, but he also is still so far behind because of it. It doesn't mean that.
He's so far behind, Cryer. He's so far behind.
Help me understand this. Beyond his footwork, the biggest flaw or knock against him is that he wilted in big games.
No.
So if I'm understanding that correctly, you'll never teach somebody to not wilt in big games. You either have it as a winner or you don't. So then I think that was a wasted pick completely if that's true.
I'm going to explain this in 1 minute. This is the most basic element of Drew Aller. He did not throw NFL passes in college. The only time he ever threw the ball was when a guy was open. Ever. There was never a scenario where your wide receiver is a half step behind the cornerback and you have to throw it leading him running across the middle, knowing that he's going to beat that cornerback, get to a spot 8 yards across the middle, and I got to put the ball right there before the safety comes crashing down. That's what NFL quarterbacks do. They throw guys open.
Okay, so was that by design? Were they telling him don't do
they
it,
told
or,
him
or he
not,
chose not to?
They told him to never. They told
they
him
Mike
to
Tomlin him
protect
then.
The ball
right?
under every – his first year as a starter, he had 25 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions. Now, would you think that that's a great year?
Heck yeah.
It wasn't. Bort, was it a great year? He threw nothing but safe dink and dunk passes or to a guy that's wide open. I don't recall 5 passes in his entire career ever where he threw a guy open. And you have to make those throws in the – You guys aren't open in the NFL. You have to throw them open.
I would say that's a bit over-exaggerating.
Go find me 5 passes where he threw across the middle
I was going to say he threw a phenomenal timing pattern on an out to the sideline.
To the sideline. Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
He's going to throw at the line of scrimmage.
But I mean, even down the field.
You're not saying he can't. He was just never asked to. So you're saying that's a skill set that he has to develop that you think Will Howard has already mastered?
Correct.
Okay.
Do you think somebody's going to develop that in the NFL when you've never done it?
Aren't they relying on that Mike McCarthy?
I'm not sure Will Howard ever made those type of throws either.
He played at Kansas State, though. Well, here's the difference with Will Howard.
Yeah.
Will Howard had phenomenal wide receivers at Ohio State. Penn State did not have a single wide receiver drafted during Drew Aller's tenure. They had one who transferred to Auburn, Keandre Lambert-Smith. He did get drafted in the fifth round, but not from Penn State. So what does that tell you? Ohio State's got these guys, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Carnell Tate and all these dudes, just Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jeremiah Smith. Will Howard has guys to throw to. James Franklin, this is all I'm going to say about James Franklin today because I've talked about it all day yesterday. He did not want Drew Aller to do anything that could lose the game because he had a top 10 defense and he had two of the best running backs in program history and he had the best wide receiver in program history.
So then
I guess what you're saying is
it's a shame that the Steelers parted ways with Mike Tomlin because he'd be the perfect head coach to manage Drew Aller in the same manner.
Let me tell you, this will blow your mind. Kenny Pickett was a significantly better college quarterback than Drew Aller.
You think? I didn't watch enough.
Kenny Pickett made plays. Kenny Pickett won games. Drew Aller was not asked to win games. Drew Aller was asked not to lose games. Their defense won games. The running game won games. James Franklin's ability to have more talent.
So then isn't that intriguing for a guy who thinks he's a quarterback or offensive genius that you could get this guy that has probably, they said, the strongest arm coming out of college and all those kind of things? If don't you tell yourself, well, if I teach him proper footwork and I can coach him to be great at throwing receivers open?
I think that the way Drew Aller succeeds in the NFL is doing what he did in college, where you don't ask him to win games. You need Drew Aller.
Nobody wants that as the real face of your franchise.
That's why I think he's going to be awful. He might be able to take the snap, hand it off, throw to Pat Freiermuth for 6 yards, hand it off again, let the defense be good. And you remember, Kenny Pickett was horrendous that 1 year, but he had like 7 comeback victories in the fourth quarter. Remember that?
Yeah.
Drew Aller might be able to pull a rabbit out of his, you know what, that way. Just be the ultimate game manager and then Kenny Pickett it or Tim Tebow it in the last 5 minutes.
So then if we take the pecking order of Will Howard and Drew Aller and make that secondary.
Will Howard can run, by
the way. If you had your pick, would you also prefer them to roll with Mason Rudolph and then let that settle itself out? Or would you still say, you know what, I'd rather them roll with Aaron Rodgers, have Mason as my backup, and then either Allen or Drew Aller or Will Howard gets cut.
Because I'm thinking of this as a fan in the long term, I'd rather have Mason Rudolph start and develop those other two guys and go 6-11. But NFL teams don't do that. They're not going to do that. They're going to go with the guy that gives them the best chance to win games, and that's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Mason Rudolph. They're going to do everything they can to keep the best quarterback they can get, and then, unfortunately, we are probably in agreement. I'd like to see Mason Rudolph. He's going to get cut.
I mean, look at the Browns. They got Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, and then they got Massage Man, and they took Talon Green, the quarterback from Arkansas.
Who starts there? Does Massage Man start there?
I don't know.
But again, last thing, because I do have to get out of here a little early, which I do apologize for. I like Will Howard. There are a lot of There are a lot of Steelers fans that want to see Will Howard.
Yeah, they want a Frankenstein. They give you all the tools of Drew Aller and put the head of Will Howard and stuff in there, and you create the in their mind the perfect quarterback.
I would have to think at least being around the NFL for a year, being at the facility, studying film, that Will Howard has got to be light years ahead of Drew.
Well, don't you think he's chapped then today? Is he chapped?
Sure, absolutely. There's no question. I mean, anybody if they bring in somebody,
but
does
it mean
to
the Steelers that they didn't feel the way about Howard that they said they did by drafting Drew Aller?
Is that a fair statement? That's the biggest question.
That's the biggest question. Now, again, Tomlin's gone. Omar Khan, so who made that decision? Did Omar Khan tell Mike McCarthy, we didn't see enough from Will Howard in year one in practice? Or did Mike McCarthy, I don't know what Mike McCarthy watched.
They said that Mike McCarthy preferred Drew Aller over Carson Beck.
Yeah, I think so. I would think. I mean, look, if you just want to see a sexy guy in shorts, Drew Aller's your guy. He's 6'4", 245. You can throw it 80 yards. He looks sexy. What I'm telling you is he did not even attempt. James Franklin, they did not even want him to attempt halfway risky plays in college because they had a top five, top 10 defense. They had more talent than everybody they played except for Ohio State and Michigan. You can win a lot of games in college just because we're better than you. The games he didn't win were the teams that were on equal footing, Oregon, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan.
Gotcha.
And then, obviously, last year, Northwestern and UCLA. That was
terrible. All right, brother. Well, we'll welcome you back the first Tuesday of training camp in July. We'll be back then full swing.
You know we're going to be talking about Drew Aller for 3 years, right? This is a three-year commitment here.
Yeah,
you one way or another. Either he's good or bad.
I just heard Blondie. Maybe we'll start that show this first training camp. One way or the other.
That's good, yeah.
All right, brother. Bormer, we good for a couple minutes? You want to take a break?
Oh, we'll do a break.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk about Mike Tomlin's interview for Sunday Night Football and his new job as the analyst for Sunday Night Football and what he said about why he resigned.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code CHAMPION25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code CHAMPION25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code CHAMPION25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Here's what's happening in Hank.
The 4th Annual Carnival Day for the Community will be held Saturday, May 16th, 10 to 2, at Albright Church of the Brethren, Roaring Spring. They'll have touch a truck, face painting, cotton candy, popcorn, candy apples, and a petting zoo. Entertainment by the Horseshoe Cloggers at 11 and Balloon Legends Twist. It's sponsored by the Roaring Spring First Church of the Brethren, 1245 Bloomfield Road, rain or shine.
We play the legends of country.
Your opportunity to voice comments and concerns about our Pittsburgh Steelers. This is Black and Gold Breakdown with Corey Geiger and Kreider. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435.
We are back. Bort, you are up in the shotgun seat. So it came out in this past week that Mike Tomlin's going to be accepting a job as analyst for NBC and Sunday Night Football. And during his in-depth interview, he talked about some of the reasons that he resigned, and a few were that leadership is lonely at the top, their failure to win a recent playoff game, and the fact that he thought he owed veteran players like Cam Hayward a chance to go deep in the playoffs with a new strategy and a new leader. Thoughts on that?
It's sort of surprising to me that he would say leadership's lonely at the top, because some of the players and himself seem to say, you know, at least outwardly show that, oh, we're best friends. You know, it seemed more of the best friend relationships between him and the players. Maybe he's talking more so in terms of, you know, coaching staffs around you, but I don't buy what he's saying about, you know, he just wanted to go out of there to give somebody else the next shot. I think he just more so realized that his support was dwindling and his, you know, the writing was sort of on the wall for him that he wasn't successful in the postseason when they needed him to be.
I agree. I think he just knew it was time. I think he did bear the weight of not winning those playoff games publicly, and I think it was getting to be a bigger albatross on his back. One more thing about Mike McCarthy and Drew Aller before we move on, but do you think it's fair if Mike McCarthy's success or tenure with the Steelers is judged on whether or not Drew Aller becomes a success?
Well, I mean, if Will Howard would end up becoming a success, then he won't be judged on if Drew Aller becomes a success or not.
No, I'm saying, do you think Mike McCarthy's tenure is graded positively or negatively only based on if Drew Aller is not successful? Do you think that tanks?
That's
Mike
what
McCarthy?
I'm saying. No, because if Will Howard ended up being good and they never had to see Drew Aller, then
yeah. I disagree with Corey. I think they're going to go with the physical presence of Drew Aller before they will roll with Will Howard, or I don't think they would have drafted him. So I bet you the pecking order comes out of these preseason games unless Aller gets opportunity to play and shrinks. I think Drew Aller is going to be this. If Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph, if one of them is gone, I think Aller's in the two slot.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's just way too early to even know what stage Aller really is with professional coaching and did we really hear the truth about, because you know the truth could be that, you know, maybe they still do like Will Howard, but they only used a 6th round pick in him. They didn't have any capital tied up to him, so why not have a competition between the two to see who could be quote unquote the next heir apparent after Aaron Rodgers? But
I think
what they still did wrong in this draft is, okay, maybe if you had thoughts about we can make Drew Aller, you know, good in the future, is where they got him. I think they could have waited further down the road to get Drew Aller, and couple that with the fact that it seems like they want to go this season with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, everything would tell you they want to play for another year of being successful. But the draft, to me, did not. I don't know. I just got confused with this draft. Are the Steelers retooling, or are they trying to be better this year?
I think they tried to walk the walk, that proverbial walk and chew gum at the same time, but I don't think they did it successfully. And that was in my next question is, before we get into the individual picks on this last 20 minutes, I feel worse about the Steelers for 2026 because I don't think they added enough top-notch talent who could make an immediate impact.
Yeah, now maybe getting Michael Pittman trumps having a bad draft where you know you already got in a good wide receiver. But again, the question I think will be, does he fit with Aaron Rodgers? And in terms of, will Aaron Rodgers have enough time to get the ball off? Because you know, they brought in an offensive lineman for a reason in the 1st round. Even if they think, you know, they have to coach him up, there, you know, there's probably still going to be a lot of pressure for him to be a starter in week 1.
Well, yeah, that and the same old dilemma with the Steelers is they're already talking about they brought him in to be a right tackle, which means they have to then move Faetano to left tackle. Always all this shuffling. Now, they would try to phrase it as versatility. You know, but you could have taken that Fano kid from Utah at tackle and played their position they played their whole college career. I just hate the fact that the Steelers always bring in these linemen like, oh, you played tackle? We'll let you play guard. You played right guard or right tackle? We're going to move you to left tackle. It's just, it seems like, again, they're not drafting the best person at a position, and you play them at that position in the pros.
Yeah, because I think one thing, you know, you guys sort of mentioned, well, Jeremy Bernard could be coming in right away to take a starting spot. If they're running 3 wide receivers at
which
once.
Which Mike McCarthy runs 80% of the time, what I read.
So, but is that because – that's not necessarily because you got a guy that's ready to play. I mean, he would have to be ready to play right away, but it also could just be by default – that he's better than the rest of the receivers
than
on the
Wilson
roster.
Better than Roman Wilson and Ben Skoranek. Skoranek.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair for Omar Khan to be taking all the heat that he's taken now? You know, people love to call him the con artist when they supposedly fleeced Dallas and got a 3rd-round pick for Pickens. Because basically now you traded George Pickens for Drew Aller. Okay, so a lot of people are saying that Omar Khan is a great capologist, but he's not a shrewd GM. But they were touting him before with some of the trades that he had gotten, you know, and the return on his investment in those trades as you know, he was the con artist, you know, duping some other teams. Do you think he should bear a lot of responsibility for what happened with this Mekhi Lemon situation?
I mean, I don't see who else's responsibility it would be, unless if Mike McCarthy assumed the same type of role that Mike Tomlin has and has, you know, all of the power basically as a equal footing as the general manager. So I just wouldn't feel great about, you know, we kept hearing how much too much power that Mike Tomlin had in the draft room and offseason acquisitions and trades. To me, like Corey said, it doesn't feel like this draft was anything different than we saw before. So how much was it that Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan maybe had a lot of similar, traits in what they were looking for in the draft?
Well, yeah, if we start going down the list, I mean, their tackle has great projections and a skill set 6'9", but he has to be labeled a project. So, you know, you're not expecting him to walk in day one and solidify a tackle position. Then, you know, Jeremy Bernard, they said, you know, is competent, but not like a superstar. You know, I mean, so that's your second round pick is, you know, I would hope for better. And then you have Drew Aller with your first pick in the third round. So again, another project. So you take your first three picks and you don't see a lot. I don't see firepower. Like, you know, when we talk about who the Browns got and who the Ravens got, like in some of these other teams with surefire starters, they're just not there. And the Steelers, if you go their third pick or their second pick in the third round was Dalen Everett, 6'1", cornerback from Georgia. Sounds like Joey Porter, though. Very skinny, very handsy, and fast. You know, so again, that's a depth pick to me. That's not walking in and starting with Jalen Ramsey and Joey Porter Jr. So
Once you get into the late third rounds, you can't always rely on just, you know, now you're at the point of the draft where mostly your picks are depth picks, and maybe eventually they'll see the field as a starter later on in their career. To me, when I was watching the draft, I thought if I'm doing grades, I thought their best pick came with their last pick in the third round.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just love him for the way he looks. Jennings Dunker with that red hair and mullet. He's a real-life lumberjack, you know.
But so I'm just saying that in terms of, you know, picking a guy in a round where you're
getting
right.
But there was other guards
right
that were rated higher than him. You know, that second guard from Missouri.
I think, though, when you're getting down to the later third round, I think it's a little tougher to, you know, skewing a little bit more.
I'm just saying if they wanted a starting guard. Yeah. To replace Isaac Samalu, then use your 12 picks. I don't think they were aggressive enough. They still ended up with 10 picks of 12. I would have been wheeling and dealing and get me that bona fide, you know, Thieneman from Oregon at safety or my wide receiver or my stud tackle, guaranteed from all evaluations to be a slam dunk, solid contributor in year one. I don't think they used their plethora of picks to the way they should have.
Which again, is the real conversation here is if your main objective and you were telling everybody this draft was to make this team better for maybe one last ride of Aaron Rodgers immediately, I just don't think they did that in this draft.
Well, we keep rolling down the road. In the fourth round, they took that guy, Weechen.
Yeah.
A solid, probably the best punt returner in the country, but in my opinion, the NFL is phasing out the impact of punt returners and kick returners in football. He didn't really catch a lot of passes at Iowa, but now they're saying, oh, the Steelers can develop him and use him in that manner. Once again, the Steelers trying to take somebody who's an organization that's already told him this is this guy's skill set and what he brings and go, we can do better with that person.
Yeah, another project pick to me. I like him a lot. I think he could, you know, I saw him run routes, and when he did get the ball in his hands, he could do a lot after the catch. But again, you can't expect that, I don't think, year one.
Well, then what about the fifth-round pick? They took a guy to replace Connor Hayward, fullback, H-back, Riley Nowakowski from Indiana. Again, serviceable there. But again, what's he bringing to the table in 2026, Matt? I don't know a whole lot about him.
Yeah, I when we get round five on, I mean, I know he's from Indiana, but I really can't remember him too much about what he did on the field. So the last picks for me other than
Yeah, they took Gabe Rubio, a defensive tackle from Notre Dame, with the sixth round. And then in, they had two picks in the seventh round. They took Robert Spears Jennings from Oklahoma, who is a safety, ran a 4.32. But again, like you said, picking in the seventh round, not high hopes. But then their last pick, Eli Heidenreich, was from Pittsburgh in the Navy, so ran a 4.4. From everything I read, beyond a feel-good story that was very emotional for this hometown and national hero, that there is an opportunity for him to carve out a role. Maybe, you know, some people, like, he was like resemble like Christian McCaffrey, but, you know, 10 relatives removed.
Yeah. And do you wonder, you know, how, you know, the perception of their draft was this just a pick at the end?
Sure.
I mean, obviously it makes you look great, picking the hometown kid out of the Navy. So you wonder how much belief is there really of him to eventually take a spot on the roster.
Almost all the national supposed experts had the Steelers rated anywhere from B+, B-, C+. C was the low. Nobody had them below a C. So if you ask me, in my opinion, this is a C draft for a C franchise, right?
Yeah.
So why should I have expected any better?
Yeah, if this was a draft for a team that didn't have many immediate needs, I would call it a B+ or an A draft, just upon, you know, these are guys that I think eventually down the road, when our starters aren't able to be at the top level anymore and be their replacement. But I just don't think, again, I don't think that's where the Steelers are at right now. If they're going to try to win this year, I don't think they made a big upgrade to this year's roster.
Yeah, I agree. Let's take our last break. Come back. We'll talk a few moments about what the Bengals, Ravens, and Browns did this draft. And then we will wrap it up and see you guys in the first Tuesday of July's training camp.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
What if you could get access to GLP-1 weight loss treatments for just $39? With Selfie, you can access doctor-guided GLP-1 weight loss treatments and a personalized weight loss program for up to 80 to 90% less than name brand prices. 100% online, and the medication is delivered straight to your door. No long waits, no paying thousands out of pocket. Available with or without insurance. Just one simple way to get started. Text FAST to 797979 to see if you qualify. That's FAST to 797979.
This is Black and Gold Breakdown with Corey Geiger and Kreider. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435.
Oh, yeah. We're back. Let's take a little trip around the AFC North, Portner. I thought the Browns had a very great draft.
Yep.
Could they possibly be turning around their misfortune of the Browns is the Browns?
Probably not. They've had a lot of good drafts recently.
True. So they got Spencer Fano, the tackle from Utah in the first round. KC Concepcion, a dynamic speedster at wide receiver. Second wide receiver, Denzel Boston. A safety that I really wanted the Steelers to get, Emmanuel McNeil Warren. And then they also signed Talon Green, the super speedy, ultra uber athlete who played quarterback at Arkansas. Man, what a haul.
What a haul, but, you know, the reason why I would say they have not changed anything, they still don't have a quarterback. I don't think there's a quarterback on their roster. Maybe if Deshaun Watson has gotten healthy.
How long has he been out? He was out all last year and almost the whole year before, or was it two years?
Yeah, I think he played a little, and then
in 2024?
Tore his Achilles. It feels so long, I can't really remember, but that would be, I think, your only hope of having another good year for having a bounce back year for the Browns is I don't think any of those other quarterbacks get it done for them this year.
Yeah. I wonder if he has to get his scar tissue massage in his midsection when he goes to get his Achilles tendon tear therapy.
No comment.
No comment. What's up with all these pro athletes tearing their Achilles? Man, in basketball, Dante DiVincenzo, I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan, was a great player for the
Jason
Bucks.
Jason Tatum came back.
Yeah. I mean, there's...
I think athletes are just as explosive, more explosive than they've ever been.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, I do. And there's so much weight training going on that I think... I think
they need more load management in the NBA.
Yeah, that'll really do it.
Play one every seven games. All right. Well, so I'm giving the Browns on paper. That's an A to me.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Ravens take Penn State cult hero guard of the next decade.
Okay.
Ione, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ione.
Ione. Oh, yeah. I like it. And then I didn't know this edge rusher, Zion Young from Missouri. You like that guy?
I didn't really see much of him this year, but the grades have been pretty good for him.
And then if they get a wide receiver, is it Jacoby Lane from USC?
Yep. And then they got
Elijah Surratt, right?
Surratt.
Look at me.
From Indiana, who both, I think, have a chance of making an impact for the Ravens in year one.
Let's talk about the little elephant in the room, too. They just signed Diego Pavia today.
Yeah, but they also signed Jake Fagnano from UConn.
Jake who?
Fagnano.
What'd you call me?
But I don't think it's anything. I mean, you bring quarterbacks in every year undrafted to fill out a roster. I don't think he was the better of the two quarterbacks that they brought in.
Were you surprised that Diego Pavia went undrafted?
No.
You think if he had a better attitude, he would have got drafted? Or you think
probably.
It's just because he's 5'10 and a half?
Probably, if he had a better attitude. Yeah. I mean, I like the feistiness out of him. I think it can make you a better player than you are. But it doesn't translate well when it comes with, off the field issues,
right?
Overconfidence in general.
That Heisman debacle.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe he could have went the Theo Von route if he was smart and raffled off his mom to date one of the NFL executives to get drafted, right?
Yeah.
The Bengals, they had a real lackluster draft. I don't even think they had a first-round pick. So they took Cassius Howell, edge rusher from Texas A&M in the second round. Know anything about him?
No.
Me neither. Really. Takaro Davis, cornerback. So I don't know what the Bengals are going to do there. I mean, I know they're hoping to maybe win games 35-31 this year with an improved defense as opposed to losing 38-35 on the last possession. But hard to give that class a high rating, right?
Yeah, I just the Bengals, I think, have become the Bengals now under the Joe Burrow era, and that's we're going to outscore you, and that's basically the only way we're going to beat you.
Think he leaves next year then if they don't make the playoffs?
I think he makes serious considerations because I think he's thinking about his just health in general. And if you're getting hit around as much as he has in Cincinnati and don't get the wins along with it, I think you start questioning what you're really doing back there.
What did you give the Ravens draft pick in your opinion?
I think it was a B plus A for them.
So right now, then, if you're going to pecking order in the AFC North based upon the draft and where the teams also finished last year, what's the pecking order going into this season, knowing that the Steelers have the hardest schedule playing the first teams that finished first in the division, and then the Ravens, Bengals, Browns?
Yeah, I think this will be an overrated division coming into this year because I did not like really where any of the teams ended last season. Maybe it's my bias. I'm going to go with the Ravens up at the top. I think that just a new voice in the room could really help them. We've sort of heard from a couple guys in the locker room that I think were growing weary of John Harbaugh. I don't know if that's just our generation getting weak, though, as well.
Right.
But I think that's fresh for them. I think they're the favorite to win the division. And I'd probably put Bengals 2, Steelers 3, and then the Browns last.
What do you think about the Rams taking that Ty Simpson pick? Help you get to the quarterback or protecting for the future and hopefully you can put it all together?
I was just more surprised that maybe they feel like they don't have many places that they need to upgrade. But
right.
I would have thought you're on the cusp of Super Bowl again for the Rams, and Matt Stafford, one of his last seasons. I just thought they would have done something to help the team right away.
Fernando Mendoza, great first year, learning first year.
I think he can be good, and it's not a good year because the Raiders are just a bleep of
a franchise.
Who's
your steal of the draft? Jeremiah Love to the Cardinals?
That's a pretty good one. We could-